Last show, guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
I'm going with the Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks. Bitch, I've been born like Milwaukee Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks. Ah. Milwaukee Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks, Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Holy shit. Holy shit. We're back. We are back. It is Bucks After Dark. And it's been a fat fucking minute since we have talked, since we have had a conversation about the Milwaukee Bucks. And if I have one regret from last season, it's leaving y'all high and dry on the podcast and after our quote-unquote loss to the Boston Celtics last playoffs. But I'm back. And to be honest, this podcast was on the fence of coming back purely for the fact that I was like, you know, I just have a lot of shit going on. This isn't like my main thing I do or anything like that. This has always been a side hobby. But these first three games for the Milwaukee Bucks have been so... They're just dying to be talked about. So that's what we are going to do today is we're going to do a lot of things. I want to break today's podcast into three segments. I want to recap the first week of Bucks basketball. Two, I want to talk about future games, kind of grade players, just outlook on the season. And lastly, we're just going to talk about some league news because there's a lot of things that have been happening around the league. And yeah, we're going to kick it off. We're going to kick it off like that. So like I said, some bullshit ensued last year. Chris Middleton, the Celtics, the literal Celtics killer. This isn't something that we Bucks fans created, you know, last year. Chris has been bending over, undressing, and brutally fucking the Boston Celtics his entire career. And I think the basketball gods are like, yo, we gave you a championship last year. Let's see how great Giannis really is. And he proved he is that guy. But, I mean, when you're going against a team like the Boston Celtics who are super deep, you're going to have to – I don't think you need to be full strength, but you need your core intact. And Chris Middleton is such a big part of our core. So we happen to go down in seven games. So we come into this season, I'd say, with three things in mind. One is we know Giannis is the best player in the world. Two, we really don't know the health of this team. We don't really, I mean, now we're kind of getting a better idea of the health of this team. We're getting an idea of like when people are going to be back and everything. And then three is just how the landscape of this league is looking with the Milwaukee Bucks. It seems like a lot of people, I am dumbfounded. I am so used to every offseason just getting discredited. But all the experts are saying, I mean, and Stephen A. is not an expert, and Skip Bayless is not an expert. But all the experts really got us favored this year, man. It just really looks like if the Bucks are healthy, they're the most seasoned team. Some people will say the Golden State Warriors, but the problem with the Golden State Warriors is that core that won those three championships has all declined outside of Steph Curry. And you got this guy, you got guys like Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, who, in my opinion, aren't really ready to form a dynasty, you know. But they're getting paid like they are. They're definitely getting paid like they are. But we're getting super ahead of ourselves. What I really want to talk about is the first week of Bucks action. So I'm going to go right now. I got my monitor in front of me. We're going to go talk about the first game of the year. Bucks, Sixers. Really, really cool opening day for us, even though I would have rather seen like a better team, a not Doc Rivers-led team. But it was a fun game. It definitely was like one of those games where it was like, we won that game. I don't know how. But it's like the games like the Sixers are not a championship DNA team and the Milwaukee Bucks are. And I really think that's the only difference between this game. I mean, because take a look at the 76ers. I mean, they were getting stuff out of guys that they're never going to get again. I mean, you got a solid 31-9-8 out of James Harden. I mean, this ain't 2016, baby. So, I mean, when you get 31-9-8 out of James Harden and you lose that game that at home opening night, that's concerning as shit. But look at Embiid, 15 points on and 12 boards in 36 minutes. That's fucking atrocious for an MVP candidate. But he did tell us at the beginning of the year, he said he's not looking for that MVP, and it shows. It fucking shows. I was hearing a lot about how Tyrese Maxey's the most underrated player in the league. I just disagree. I think he's a very nice young player. I doubt he makes waves in Philly. I feel like he's a guy that might be packaged in a big trade where the Sixers probably were the last-ditch effort try to get a superstar to pair with Embiid and Harden or something, because I just don't see him fitting on this team. 15 points, 34 minutes. Nah, not doing it for me. Tobias Harris looked dog shit. Great Giannis block on him. PJ Tucker, I feel bad for PJ Tucker, man. 40 minutes, 5 points, man. And you look at PJ Tucker, he fit very well, in my opinion, on the Heat, because the Heat have a very ball movement oriented offense. With Philly, man, it's just straight isolation basketball. And that's not where PJ Tucker operates. He's still going to give you that grit, that dog mentality on the bench. But I just think PJ Tucker is a really bad fit for this Philadelphia 76ers team. And that's going to stink for them, because they gave him a pretty nice contract and that he's probably going to retire after. Because, I mean, PJ Tucker is not getting younger. So I feel bad. PJ posted on Instagram a picture of his Bucks ring. He so bad wants to be a Milwaukee Buck. And you just look outside for the Sixers, they really got nothing. They really got nothing from anybody else on the team. DeAnthony Melton had 9 points in 20 minutes. Yeah, nothing really out of many guys. It was a super low-scoring affair, 90-88 Milwaukee Bucks. Let's go over to the Bucks. You'll get Giannis. Giannis had one of those games where it was clear where he was like, I want to win this game. He probably could have dominated, but he didn't. So he had 21, 8, and 13 in 36 minutes. Easily his worst game of the year so far, but he also didn't look bad at all. Just looked like he wasn't really taking those shots. And shout out, if you don't know, the Philadelphia 76ers had a, what's it called? One of those promotions with Chick-fil-A where it says, if a Bucks player misses 2 free throws, it's like a 4-piece chicken nugget for everybody who went to the game. He was the only player that missed 2 free throws. Man of the people. Man of the fucking people. You want to keep calling him fake humble? It sounds like this dude's a man of the people. Gave those people free chicken NNL. What a guy. Grayson Allen is the talk of the town. It seems like him and George Hill have been put in every trade package known to man. Maybe we could package Grayson and George Hill for fucking Kobe Bryant. Maybe bring him out the fucking grave, you know. Rip Kobe Bryant, baby. But it's ridiculous what people think we can get for Grayson Allen and George Hill. I didn't think Grayson looked bad. He actually did set up the game winner at the end as well. Brooke fucking Lopez, dude. Brooke Lopez, he must have heard me on Twitter, because I was very iffy on Brooke Lopez, because it seemed to me the past 1 to 2 years his defense has slowly been declining, but he has been dealing with injuries. But it's like when you're dealing with injuries and the Bucks have like a 2 to 3 year window now to win championships, it's scary to me. Like a guy that's dealing with injuries, he's not getting younger. He just shut me the fuck up. He honestly is the DPOY front runner right now. He's got like 15 blocks in 3 games. He's producing on the offensive end. Fuck it. Brooke Lopez for most improved player of the year. He has looked outstanding. He had 17-4. Then he got Drew Holiday in this home opener, shooting like absolute dog shit, but hitting big shots when he did. He had 6 points, 8 assists, and 4 boards in 36 minutes. Javon Carter was the talk of the town in the preseason. He's definitely dropped off a bit, but I do like him in that starting role while Chris Middleton is out, while Joe Ingles is out, and who am I missing? Pat Connaughton is out, which is crazy. I mean, that's like half of our DNA right there on guys who aren't even playing. Bobby Portis had a double-double, a cute little double-double, 11 points, 10 boards. He looked nice. George, 4. Wesley Matthews with 8 points, but the shot of the year so far. This man, I fucking love Wes Matthews, and I want to have a conversation with the 2K NBA 2K developers over his 73 overall this year. That is blasphemy. He's a good defender, good 3-point shooter, and a smart IQ player. We love me some Wes Matthews. Jordan Nwora continues to piss me off. He's probably my least favorite player on the team. He just doesn't seem to learn his role, but I do not deny his shooting ability. And it seems like Serge Ibaka, he got 4 minutes. It seems like he's kind of getting thrown to the sidelines again. I don't know if Bud wants to use him. Big opening night win in Philadelphia. I know I went pretty in-depth into that game, but we're going to talk about the Houston Rockets game really, really quick. Honestly, I just want to talk about Giannis, to be honest, this game. Bucks win 125-105. It was one of those games that I dreamed about like 5, 6, 7 years ago as a Bucks fan, where it's like I was at a bar for this game, and it's so nice because the bar became a Bucks bar. Second off, you don't really need to like pay attention to the game at all. It's just like on in the background. Every time you look at the screen, Bucks up 20. It's one of those games. Houston is definitely in that rebuild stage. Jalen Green, I do think, has some potential. I don't really want to talk about the Houston Rockets. Bore me to death. So I don't really want to talk about them. But let's talk about 44 fucking points in 28 minutes. I don't think people realize what that is. That's like a quarterback throwing 4 touchdown passes at half. That's like a baseball player hitting 3 dingers in 5 innings. I mean, just it's stupid. And to me, if Giannis wants to this year, if he just goes a little harder in these throwaway games, he could very, very well be averaging 33 to 35 points this year, and that is scary. That is scary. I really think this year, I think he hasn't won an MVP in 2 seasons. I think that voter fatigue is wearing off a little bit. MVP, MV3 for Giannis Antetokounmpo could easily be on tap. And the one other thing I want to talk about this game was Brook Lopez, 5 blocks. You could tell he was just a man among boys out there tonight. No one was coming in his lane. Drew Holiday had a nice 19. And I do want to talk about George Hill, because George Hill has been on a lot of people's minds. He seems to be our scapegoat on why we lost the Celtics series, when in reality, there are 2 scapegoats. One, Chris Middleton wasn't there. That's our scapegoat. We need Chris Middleton to get up for those bit, not games. I think we can go games with it. We can beat the best team in the league without Chris Middleton. But for a 7-game series, dude, is such a big absence. This isn't like when Nets fans try to claim, oh, Kyrie was out 3 of the last 4 games. Like, dude, shut up, man. You got him. You had him for 4 games. You lost one of those games. If you were that much better than us like you claim, you could have had that series up 3-0, but you didn't. And then you got James Harden back, and he just looked like a bum. And nah, bro, we didn't have Chris Middleton the whole series, not a minute on the floor. That's our scapegoat. And honestly, if a couple guys hit shots in game 6, that's our scapegoat. I also, like, I think why we blame this George Hill phenomena is because how great he was in 2019 for us. And he does look like a shell of himself out there sometimes. But this year, he's been pretty solid. I really do like what I've seen from George Hill this year. No lie. I really, really do. And yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to see him shut the fuck up out of people. You know, obviously he's on that tight window right now, though. He's on that tightrope, because this man gets a big turnover in 1 game. He's immediately threat level midnight. So keep an eye for George Hill. Like I said, I don't want to go too in depth on that Rockets game, but the Bucks are sitting 2-0 after this Rockets game. They were 1 of 2 unbeaten teams to that point with Portland. Shout out Damian Lillard, just an absolute stud this year. Absolute stud this year. But now let's talk about Brooklyn. We played Brooklyn the 26th on a Wednesday. And I'll be honest, it was another game looking mighty shiesty. Looking up in the air, down 12 at half. Giannis had a poor first half, not because anyone was holding him. More for the fact that it looked like he just wasn't interested in attacking the basket, I should say. And to me, it's weird. I don't get that. Because the second half, he said, okay, I want to attack the basket. And he finished with a mean 43 points. And I don't even know how many points he had in the first half. Couldn't have been many. Couldn't have been many at all. I mean, Bobby had like fucking 17 in the first half. Bobby is the only reason we were in that game, and I love what I'm seeing from Bobby so far. The Nets look just bad, if I'm being honest. They just don't. They have whatever the opposite of championship DNA is. Kevin Durant can't lead a team to a championship. I know a lot of people want to bring up that Warriors team, but I think there are so many superstars that could have gone to that Warriors team and done what he did. I mean, it just happened to be Kevin Durant, and they still had some tough series, and it's just clear he doesn't know how to lead a team. He just doesn't. He had 33 points, 3 assists, and 6 boards in 40 minutes. I don't know. I mean, Kevin Durant's game basically is, I'm going to get to my spots, and I'm going to hit mid shots on you. But his buckets never felt big. They always just feel like in the flow of the game, you know? Kyrie looked fine, 27-9. I mean, Kyrie and KD, I'm not going to say are the problems, but it feels like they are, because it just feels like the game stops when it gets into their hands, you know? You don't see... And when you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving combined, when you combine both of them, they only had 4 assists. I mean, that means the ball is stopping the second it gets into their hands. The one thing I do like that they've done this year is brought in Royce O'Neal. Royce O'Neal is someone I really like. He's a really good 3-and-D guy. He actually did torch us. He had 12 points on some big threes in the first half. But yeah, he went silent second half and had no other measurable statistic the rest of the game. Nick Claxton has not gotten better, I swear to God, in 4 fucking years, 3 years or whatever. The haircut did not work, my guy. Nick Claxton's an NBA player. That's all I can say about Nick Claxton. And Ben Simmons, I honestly think he is one of the worst players in the league. I've never seen such a liability in my life. You can call Russell Westbrook, Westbrook. You can call him a liability, which he has been for the Los Angeles Lakers, but not like Ben Simmons. Like, you can't leave Russell open for a open, you can't play 15 feet off of him. It's ridiculous. And I've never seen a guy who gets such mediocre stat lines get praise. I mean, he had 4 points, 9 assists, and 5 boards. And it's like, I just don't value the assist the same way I did as, you know, pre-2010 basketball. I mean, me or you could go out there and get some assists. I mean, that just means you're dishing it for a guy who might hit a tough 3, might hit a tough whatever. I'm not discrediting Ben Simmons' passing ability, but it's like, you're paying him how much to get 4 points, 9 assists, and 2 rebounds? Like, that's ridiculous to me. Yute Watanabe, I mean, they basically got rid of all, like, that LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, Bruce Brown, and they've really replaced him with Yute Watanabe, Edmund Sumner, you know, Royce O'Neal. Like, it's just, this team isn't it. This team isn't it. The Bucks handle him 110-99. Giannis has a MVP performance. And the Bucks are sitting at a cool 3-0, ready to play New York Knicks tonight. I'm excited. The Knicks look like they're getting it together a little bit. I'm hoping. It's crazy, but like, because I used to not hate Brooklyn, but their fans are so insufferable where it's like I'm cheering for the Knicks. I'm cheering for the Knicks to be that team in that city. So, I know I kind of went over grades for the Milwaukee Bucks, but real quick, let's just go over. For the more obvious ones, we're not going to take too long. We're going to give Giannis an A+. If I did want to dip him a little bit, his decision making on some 3-pointers is still questionable, but he's not pulling 7 or 8 a game. It's my only thing. It still looks like that 3 is just never going to be. He's never going to be Kevin Durant, okay? But I'm not asking him to be Kevin Durant. I just want him to be as good a 3-point shooter as like someone like. I just want him to be as good as 3-point shooter as like 2010 LeBron, you know, where it's like, yo, it's his weakness, but he can light you up if you're just going to give it to him. Obviously, LeBron has greatly improved his shooting. So that's, I'm not going to say if Giannis could pick up LeBron's shooting now, I think he's not only the GOAT, I think he's the GOAT of all sports and he has 10 rings. But yeah, so Giannis A+, Grayson Allen, I'm going to give him a B. No, I'm going to give him a C. I'm going to give Grayson Allen a C. I do think he's given a lot of heart out there. He definitely looks like he's, you know, he's diving for loose balls. He's had some really good defensive plays. I do like what I've seen from Grayson Allen on the defensive end. I do like that a lot. But the three-pointer, I mean, against Brooklyn, he had the most wide-open shots in the world, and they just didn't look close. But, you know, I'm whatever on Grayson. You know, I'd be happy to keep him for the rest of the year. If there comes a trade where, you know, we can get a guy like Jordan Clarkson, we can get a guy like Buddy Hield, we can get a guy like that, obviously I'd want to make that push. But right now, Grayson's fine. I'd say he's fine. Next, we're going to go down to Brooke Lopez. He gets an A+, man. A++++. He has looked fucking fantastic this year. It's exactly what I needed from Brooke Lopez. I have never thought that I'd see this Brooke Lopez again. It looks like my roommate said it. It looks like 2019 Brooke Lopez. You know when like everything just clicked in 2019 when we made that Brooke addition? That's what it feels like this year. He's obviously not going to keep this going. There's just no way. Like, obviously I want him to, but there's just no way. But so I expect Brooke to piss me off like he always does, but I just love what I'm seeing right now from Brooke Lopez, and I'm going to put him on the Bucks After Dark, untouchables. Brooke Lopez is an untouchable guard, untouchable player right now for us. Do not want to see him moved. We got Drew Holiday, man. If I'm being real with you, I mean, these are early season grades. I'm going to give Drew a C. Purely for the fact we know he's a good defender. That's something that's never going to... The only thing that's stopping him from being a good defender is Father Time. So, I mean, I love him on the defensive end. He just needs to start taking care of that basketball. He really does. And and his shot selection is bad to start the year. But, I mean, I love Drew Holiday. Clear untouchable. Love Drew Holiday. I just think he's had a rough three games to start. I do like his he's committing a lot of turnovers, but he's also getting a fuck ton of assists. So we like what we have seen from Drew Holiday to start the year. Javon Carter, I'm going to give him – this is tough because I'm going to try not to live in the preseason here when he would have had an A-plus for me. I'm going to give him a B purely for the fact he's not fucking up. He seems to live in that starting role. Like you don't get – I judge that on like you're not getting mad at Javon Carter. He's not making mistakes. He's not turning the ball over. That mid-range shot doesn't seem to be there for him like it was in the preseason. But I'm liking what I'm seeing from Javon Carter. Love the addition to the squad. And I feel like as he gets into the swing of the season and we get some guys healthy back, he's going to find a cute, sweet, sexy role on that bench. All right. Controversy. I'm going to give George Hill a B. I'm going to give him a B on the year. George Hill has looked... solid. He's literally had the closing steal against the Nets. He's had some big shots, some big steals. He looks quick out there. I'm liking what I'm seeing from George Hill, man. I'm rooting for George Hill this year, man. The hate he got was so unwarranted. Like, do people really think, like, if we kept Jeff Teague last year, we're in the finals? It wasn't George Hill's fault, man. He does get some tough defensive matchups. Like, I'm always like, how is this dude on Kevin Durant right now? Like, but the league is a game of switching, and it just always seems like he's getting torched on defense. I'm not going to say he's been perfect this year, but he's been fine. He's not a C, because a C would be like he's not fucking up. He's a B for me because he's doing things out in the court. He's making plays. He seems to be well-liked on the team, and I'm liking everything from him. Bobby Portis, man, just an A. Solid A for Bobby Portis. Now, these rankings or these grades are not based on the player's ability. It's what we thought they were going to be and how they're performing. So, like, an A is exceeding expectations. B is slightly exceeding expectations. C is like, basically, you're boring me. But, you know, you're fine. You're on the team. And you're going to be hearing a lot of A's and B's from these first three games because we've looked very good. He looked very, very good. So, yeah, Bobby's been great. Bobby's three-point shot looks money. He has definitely made an improvement on the defensive end. I used to feel like, you know, we had to either do Brooke or Bobby in because if you want defense, you got to put Brooke in. But if you need to get a bucket, you got to throw Bobby. And I think Bobby has made up for his, some of his weaknesses on the defensive end, especially in the interior and keeping up with guys on the perimeter, where you can look at him now and it's like he's not a liability out there. In fact, I really do think he is part of our best defensive lineup. So shout out Bobby Portis. Get your bag. Get your money. Get your bag. Get your bag. All right. We got two players left of the healthies. Wesley Matthews, A+. For what Wesley Matthews is, man, he's hitting big shots and he's hustling his ass off on defense. There's not much to say. There's really not much to say. Best three-point celebration in the league. We love us some Wes Matthews. And like I said, 2K. To give this man a 73 overall, and you're going to sit here when he's outscored Ben Simmons two out of the three games he's played. You're going to give Ben Simmons, who hasn't played basketball in damn near a year and a half, you're going to give him like an 83, 84, who's got one of the worst defensive ratings in basketball. It's a fucking joke. Fix your game, 2K, before I fucking buy your new one. Jesus fuck. And lastly, we got Jordan Nwora. I'll give him a C. Like I said, I've never been in love with Nwora's game. I think this is a horse draft for this guy 2 years ago now, and I think they're really trying to implement him. Got 17 minutes against the Nets. I don't know, man. There's just something about him that I don't love. I feel like we move him, he could spark a team, maybe. I just feel like he's not buying into what we are. If he wanted to be like a catch and shoot guy that like could kind of like Grayson is, like a catch and shoot guy that can surprise you with his shot creating ability, I'm cool with that. But it seems like every time he catches the ball, he's like, no, I'm a shot creator. The offense has stopped. I'm trying to go get my bucket. That's my opinion on Jordan Nwora. Not a huge fan. Always down to be proved wrong if you are wearing a Bucks jersey. Those are my rankings. Let me know, guys. You can just go onto the Twitter and let me know. Do you agree with those rankings? Are those rankings BS? Did I get any wrong? Did I miss anything? Let me know. And lastly, I just want to talk about the landscape of the NBA for our final couple minutes here. NBA, I mean, honestly, the best way, I mean, this is the way too early season predictions. Let's just look at the league standings, league power rankings real quick. NBA standings here. All right. So Bucks, Celtics, Knicks, Hawks is your top four teams. You also got the Wizards and Cavs all tied. Well, so right now the Celtics, Knicks, Hawks, Wizards, Cavs, Raps. No, not the Raps. Sorry. Just the Cavs are tied for second place at 3-1. I mean, I think the Cavs are the team. It's like the easy pick to be like that. They're going to be substantially better than last year. Donovan Mitchell looks like he's having a year. Excited to start hating on the Cavs again, to be honest with you. I think the Cavs do have something to show this year. They have arguably the nicest starting five. I'm not saying they even have close to like a top 10 player on their starting five, but they got a very like even starting five. I just think in the playoffs, that even starting five, if you don't have that guy, is going to be tough. It's going to be tough to get past like the second round. And even a first-round team could give them a tough matchup if they run into someone like the Raptors or something. Teams that have been struggling early on, oh, we love to see this. The Heat and Sixers suck dick. Oh, my God. I think the Heat are going to pick it up more than the Sixers will because the Heat, they move the ball really well. I do think losing P.J. Tucker is actually bigger for the Heat than it was for us. Losing P.J. Tucker is going to be bad for them. That was a lot of grit defensively that I feel like they've lost. Their defense doesn't look as well-sounded. I do think Bam Adebayo is taking the next step like he always does. And I do think he's the cornerstone of that team. It's not Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler is whatever. He's a whatever superstar, you know. He's a fringe top 10 guy. And, the Heat are 2-4. We love to see that. Sixers 1-4. And man, the Sixers, it's not like they're losing to good teams all the time. I mean, they lost to the fucking Spurs, who Greg Popovich has openly said that the Spurs are not playing this season. I mean, Greg has openly said that, which is wild to me. But the East is looking super predictable right now for the most part, besides those teams. Like I said, I don't see the Heat being a play-in team, and I don't see the Sixers completely missing the playoffs. Nets are 1-4. Just a quick fuck the Nets real quick. Fuck the Nets. All right, Western Conference is looking crazy. The Western Conference is fucking wild. We got the Jazz sitting at 4-1. Crazy. Got the Trailblazers at 4-1. Those are the two top teams, and then the Grizzlies at 4-1, which is a little bit more predictable. Suns look okay. Pels look good. I think that's a lot. That's kind of like a Cavs team where a lot of people are like predicting them to take the next step this year. Looks like they are. They had a really good win over the Mavs without Zion, without Ingram. And that's like a championship. I'm not saying the Pels even have close to championship DNA, but that's something championship teams do. They don't find excuses. And they can go out and get crazy wins like that. You got the Nuggets 3-2. You got the Timbies 3-2. Spurs, so much for tanking. They're in the playoffs right now. You got the Warriors who are 3-2, which might be a little surprising. I do think they're going to have a fat wake-up call this year. I really do. I really, really do. Because they just went all in on Poole and Wiggins, who were big as fuck for them in the playoffs. But that's, I can see Poole keep progressing, but Wiggins is like Wiggins. Wiggins is Wiggins, you know? I just don't see Andrew Wiggins being a part of a 2-3 championship team and being your second, third best guy. I mean, that's just kind of blasphemy. And, you know, obviously you got Curry doing probably Curry things. I haven't been too on pace with him. The Jason Kidd-led Mavericks, we got them sitting at 2-2. The Mavericks, to me, are always going to be that team where it's like, if they're in the playoffs, maybe they might fucking roll their way into the finals, but I just don't see them as like a true contender right now. Shout out to our boy Christian Wood. Clippers have lost 3 straight. The Clippers, man, it's on paper, they should be the best basketball team in NBA history. It just doesn't work out that way. I don't know if that's a Clippers curse thing or what that is. Rockets 1-4. Shout out, they got a win. Kings 0-4, and the fucking Los Angeles Lakers, one of 2 teams without a win on the year. Fucking hell, man. It's just disgusting what that team has done. I think you could take 98% of basketball fans and they can construct a better team than the Los Angeles Lakers have. It's just the core is so flawed. You're expecting a 38-year-old LeBron paired with the most injury-prone player of all time, paired with, honestly, the most overrated point guard of all time, and expecting results. Not only are you not getting results, you don't got to win on the season, my guy. It's I want to feel bad for LeBron, but you can't because he's the main reason Westbrook's there. It's just a disaster in LA. It's just a disaster. They've single-handedly kind of ruined LeBron's image. I mean, when you talk about the best players in basketball anymore, he shouldn't be in your top 5. He really shouldn't. Because let's be real, top 5 player would have gotten the Lakers a win by now. But they're really fucking bad. They're shooting the 3-pointer, I think the worst of all time over 4 games. And that's the thing. It's a make or break league right now. Like, you're not going to win an NBA game shooting less than 23s a game. But if you straight up just don't have 3-point shooters, you're wasting possessions taking that 3-point shot. All right, so we just covered fucking everything through the league. We got the Knicks tonight. Knicks look a little better. Brunson looks like he's cooking. Guys, I know it's been a minute. I'm going to try and do these every week. I really do love talking Bucks. We're going to be putting this on Twitter, and then we're going to have a segment next week where you guys can just ask questions, thoughts, anything you want me to address, topics you want me to cover. And we're also going to try to have someone on to just shoot the shit off of as well. Talk Bucks basketball. It's been a fucking long off season. My Detroit Lions suck dick. I already know we're not even gonna be in the playoff picture by week 7. So I'm completely off football immediately, and I'm looking at the best team in the NBA in the Milwaukee Bucks. My closing remarks: get healthy, Chris. Get healthy, Jingles. Get healthy, Pat. Because when you guys are back, everything's full swinging. I think we could have the best regular season in this team's history. That's all it is today, guys. We'll be back next week. If you are not subscribed to our YouTube, go give it a sub. Maybe we'll be uploading there soon. And if you're not following the Twitter, go do that. We also have an Instagram that I'm trying to be more active on. Go give that a follow. If you're ever having withdrawals from your Bucks After Dark experience, guys, Giannis is our dad. And as always, and forever, Bucks in six. Have a good weekend, boys.